إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا بعد My dear brothers and sisters, the Quran al-Kareem came to be lived by. It came to be acted upon. It did not just come to be read for the sake of thawab. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to read something without understanding its meaning, He would have sent us something which had no meaning. He would have sent us a tune. He would have sent us a raga. He would have sent us Saregama Padhanisa. And we would have recited it. We would have sung it. And we would have got thawab. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send us meaningless sounds to be recited for the sake of thawab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us a book that is full of meaning. He sent us His word, which is full of meaning, so that we recite it and we get thawab, yes, but far more importantly, that we recite it with the intention of implementing it, with the intention of obeying it, with the intention of molding our lives upon it. And that is why the purpose of the Quran must never be forgotten. And the purpose of the Quran is so that it is read, understood, and lived by, and acted upon. The fact that you will get a sawab, whether or not you understand it, this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you touch the Quran respectfully with wudu, if you look at the Quran respectfully, thinking in your mind that this is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu, and you are looking at it with respect, with love, inshallah, for all of these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will give us thawab. But the Quran didn't come for you to sit and stare at it. It didn't come for you or me to put in a high place, in a place of honor in our houses. It didn't come for you and me to be treated as a ritual. When we enter a new house, we hold the Quran over our heads. When the bride and groom are married, they hold the Quran over their heads and they walk across an imaginary threshold. And so on and so forth. All of these are things that we have invented, which have nothing to do with the Quran or with Islam. The Quran al-Kareem came to be read and understood and lived by. So what is one supposed to do? How is one supposed to do that? See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so beautifully explained that in the very first surah of the Quran, He began His kalam with a summary and gist of the entire kalam. Surah al-Fatiha, in 7 beautiful short ayat, contains the essence of the entire kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began His kalam with his name. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu, the most beneficent, the most merciful. A mercy that does not decrease. A mercy that is forever. Beneficence that does not decrease, generosity that cannot be equaled. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the purpose of our creation. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. What is the purpose of our creation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, I have not created the insan and the jinn and the insan for any purpose other than to worship me. What is the worship of Allah? The worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consists of two things. The glorification, the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and the thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Worship consists of glorification of Allah and thankfulness to Allah, which is hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after beginning the kalam with His name, He drew our attention to the purpose of our creation. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Then Allah Jalla Jalaluhu introduced Himself. Who is this Rabbul Alameen? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The most merciful. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The one whose mercy as Ar-Rahman is at the peak, and whose mercy as Ar-Rahim continues forever, at the same level, at the same peak level, without decline. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, whose mercy does not decrease. There is no zawal in His mercy. In His rahmah, there is no zawal. What is rahmah? Rahma is to return good in exchange for bad. What is mercy? Mercy is the foundation on which forgiveness is built. So who is my Rabb? He is the one who is the most merciful, beyond whom there is no other one who is more merciful than him. Arhamur Rahimeen. The most merciful among those who are merciful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew our attention to our final destination. Maliki Yawmiddin. Who is the Malik? Who is the Malik? Who is the King? Who is the owner of the Day of Judgment? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The one who is most merciful. The one who is most beneficent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have mentioned this many times before. Allah could have introduced himself, Jalla Jalaluhu, with any of his attributes. He could even have introduced himself with those attributes which he mentioned with respect to this same day, where he said, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked this rhetorical question and said, who is the king on this day? And he said, this day is for the one who is Al-Wahidul Al-Qahhar. Allah could have used those attributes in Surah Al-Fatiha, the beginning of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to introduce himself with respect to his ownership and with respect to his control of the Day of Judgment. But he did not do that. Instead of that, he introduced himself with those most beautiful attributes of his, that attribute of Rahmah, which is so full of hope for us, for people who have sinned, for people who have committed transgressions against themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assures us of his forgiveness, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our tawbah. Maliki yawmiddin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to make dua. The first rule of making dua is to establish a relationship. You are asking me, but who are you? You are asking me, but who are you? What is that relationship? Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. O Allah, I am yours. O Allah, I belong to you. O Allah, I worship no one other than you. O Allah, I ask help from no one other than you. Ya Rabbul Alameen, Ya Kareem, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Rahmanur Rahimu fi dunya wal akhirah, tawaffana musliman wa alhiqna bis salihin. Antal hayyul qayyum, antal hayyul qayyum, ya zal jalali wal ikram, anta waliyuna, anta waliyi fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah, tawaffani wa tawaffana musliman. وَأَلْهِقْنَا بِالصَّالِحِينَ. O Allah, you are our wali in this dunya and in the akhirah. O Allah, let us die as Muslims and let us be resurrected with the salihin, with those people who you love, with the people who are good. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if a person loves Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him an ending on Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us an ending on Islam. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. What is the meaning of Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in? My brothers and sisters, Allah began this surah with reminding us about the purpose of our creation. And Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in is the explanation of that purpose. We were created only for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. And the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu is to worship Him with the Aqidah of Tawheed. No shirk, no bid'at, no partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way. No partners in His uluhiyat. No partners in worshipping Him. No partners in His rububiyat. No partners in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. No partners in His asma wa sifat. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. A one sentence essence of tawheedul uluhiyat and tawheedul rububiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself with this. And Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in is a one sentence description of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are we? We are those who worship you, our Rabb. We are those who worship only you and nobody else. We are those who ask help only from you and nobody else. One of the Salaf, he said, that a fear of poverty is a sign of having a bad opinion about Allah. So they asked him, what must you do? He said, change your opinion about Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. Think about this. We are afraid of poverty. Why? Because we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will... Maybe we don't say this in so many words, but what is the thought in the mind? Something will happen to me. Something will happen to me. I will starve. I will become poor. Why? When your Rabb has taken responsibility for you. When your Rabb said that, I am the Razzaq Dhul Quwwati Al Mateen. Why are you afraid? So ask yourself this question. Iyyaka na'bud wa iyyaka nasta'in. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us what dua to make. He taught us how to make dua. And then he taught us what dua to make. Ihdina sirata al-mustaqim. Allah did not tell us ask for Jannah. Allah did not tell us to ask for Jannah. Allah did not tell us to ask for anything. He did not tell us to ask for freedom from the fire. He did not tell us to ask for the shade of His arsh on the Day of Judgment. He did not ask us to ask for wealth in this world. He didn't ask us to ask for health in this world and strength and power and youth or children or nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although all of these things are halal, all of these things we can ask for, we should ask for. But this is the essence of, supposing somebody says, ask me for only one thing. Supposing Allah says, ask for only one thing. Then what will you ask for? You will think and you will look for something which encompasses everything. So that by asking for this one thing, you automatically get everything else. Because all the other things are contained within this one thing. Now this is the beauty of asking for the right thing. So here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us, showing us the one thing, if you ask for that one thing and if Allah gives it to you, then everything else comes in it. The Jannah comes in it, the freedom from the fire comes in it, the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment comes in it. Health, wealth and contentment, which is the essence and the reason for health and wealth and everything else comes in it. Everything that you want, happiness in this dunya and happiness in the akhirah, comes in that one thing, and that is as-siratul mustaqim. So Allah said, ask for this. Ihdina siratul mustaqim. What is the siratul mustaqim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. He didn't leave it for us to determine that on our own. He didn't leave it for us to guess. Allah mentioned this specifically. Yasin wal Quran al Hakim. Innaka lamina al mursaleen ala siratim mustaqim. Allah said very clearly, Yasin. Allah is referring to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is one of the huruf al muqatta'at. And it is, the Mufassirin say that perhaps it is one of the names of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa alam. The point is that Allah is taking this harf, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, He is taking an oath by the Quran. Yasin wal Quran il Hakim. Allah is taking an oath by the Quran. And then what is Allah saying? Innaka lamin al mursaleen ala siratim mustaqim. Verily you are from the messengers of Allah. You are one of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu, and you are on the Siratul Mustaqim. Which Siratul Mustaqim? Which we have been asked to ask for every single day in every single salah. There is no salah without Suratul Fatiha. Whether it is fard or is nafil or sunnah or tarawih or whatever salah, there is no salah, there is no rakat of any salah without Suratul Fatiha. So every single time when we stand in salah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any time of the day or the night, we have to recite Suratul Fatiha. And in this Suratul Fatiha, you're asking for what? You're asking for the sirat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're asking for the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is the way of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That is what is called the sunnah. The sunnah is the way of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now think about this when we look at our own lives. You are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have invoked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the best of His names. And you have invoked Him by His power, and you have invoked Him by His control of the Day of Judgment. And you have praised Him and you have glorified Him, and you have narrated and reiterated and invoked your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, and now you are asking for a favor. And what is that favor? You are saying, oh Allah, grant me the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Grant me a way of life which is on the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. What a beautiful dua, and what a jami' dua, what a complete dua. If we are granted the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you can be sure that you have been granted every possible happiness that can exist in this dunya wal akhirah. And that is the beauty of the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave that also there. Allah re-emphasized. My brothers and sisters, there are two ways of showing the way, of giving directions. One is to draw a map and to give detailed directions. Take a right, take a left, and so on and so forth. Another one is to send a guide and say, just follow this guide. Of the two, which one is more foolproof? If you are reading a map, you can make a mistake. If you are reading directions, if you are listening, if you heard directions, you might go wrong sometimes. You might miss a direction. You might have forgotten. But if you are following a guide who knows the way, there is no way you can go wrong. If you are holding the hand of the guide who knows the way, there is no way that you can go wrong. You are with the guide, you can go to sleep. The guide is driving your car, you can go to sleep. You will still reach your destination. But if you are driving your car and you go to sleep, you are dead. Think about that. This is the beauty of the guide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a guide. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. And who is that? Who are the an'am Allahu alayhim in the nabiyyina wa siddiqina wa shuhadai wa salihin? Hasuna ulaika rafiqa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the best of the people who have been given the in'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the nabiyyin, the siddiqin, the shuhadai wa salihin. And among the anbiya, among the nabiyyin, who is the imamul anbiya? Who is the Sayyidul Mursaleen? Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is the guide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this completely foolproof method of guidance. He said, just follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Allah said, whatever my Nabi gives you, take it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Did he say follow him in the religion, in terms of worship and rituals, and as far as the rest of your life is concerned, do whatever you like? Did Allah say that? No. Whatever he gives you. وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَقُذُهُ. وَمَا أَتَاكُمْ. Whatever he gives you, take it, grab it, hold it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever he stops you from, stop from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a blanket assurance. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And whatever he tells you not to do, don't do it. Be that in your personal life, be that in your official life, be that in your public life, be that in your private life, be that in terms of worship, be that in terms of your domestic issues in the home, be that your challenges as the head of state, whatever the situation might be, whatever the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you to do, do it. Whatever he stopped you from, stop it. وَمَنْ يُطِيَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who has obeyed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has indeed obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can never ask you to disobey Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can never ask you to disobey Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he orders you something, he is merely communicating an order that has come to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. Allah said that he does not speak of it by himself. He does not speak on his own by himself. He is only saying what has been revealed to him. Now our friends, some of them who deny the hadith, when you quote this ayah, they say, well, you see, that refers to the Quran. But if that referred to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have mentioned the Quran. If that referred only to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whatever he tells you in the Quran, he has been inspired. And the rest of it is from his own self. Allah did not say that. Allah said, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْحَوَى. Allah said, he does not speak from his own self. Whatever he says is the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So any of the ahkam, any of the rulings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we consider them to be divine rulings. Inspired in him, shown to him, taught to him by means of wahi, which we call wahi matlu or ghair matlu, depending on whether it's in the Quran or whether it's in the Sunnah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to ask for the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, seriously ask yourself, You stand in Salah and you ask for the way of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You stand in Salah and you ask Allah to guide you to the Sunnah. And immediately after you finish Salah, you go and break the Sunnah. Ask yourself how you are going to face Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, because this will be asked. This question will be asked. How is it that you deliberately broke the Sunnah? How is it that you deliberately went against the Sunnah for which you yourself made dua in the Salah? And not just once, you made this dua in every rakat of every Salah. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dallin. Oh Allah, not the path of those who invited your anger. Not the path of those who did things which made you angry. And not the path of those who were misguided. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not simply say Jews and Christians. Anyone who attracts the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anyone who is misguided, no matter what they are, no matter who, which religion they belong to or they belong to no religion, anyone who does, including Muslims, actions which attract the anger of Allah, we ask the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from such people and from their actions. And anyone who is misguided, people who are Muslims, but who are involved in all kinds of bid'at, are they not included in the dhalin? It's not a matter of just saying Christians. Who are Christians? Christians are people who did the same kind of bid'at and hulu with respect to Isa alayhi salam, which today people, our people do with respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with respect to our other scholars and salihin in this deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, ask protection from the ways of people who are misguided. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. This is the beauty of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I told you, the kalam of Allah came for us to read it, understand it, and to live our lives according to it. And Surah Al-Fatiha is the essence of the entire kalam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand the Quran as it is the right of the kalam to be understood. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease our path to His obedience and to enable us to live by the Quran as it is the right of the Quran that it must be lived by. And as I keep reminding myself and you, the issue or the problem of rights is that rights have to be fulfilled, otherwise we will be held accountable. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ourselves and to save us from our nufus and to save us from shaitan and not to hold us accountable for our faults and our mistakes. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to make tawbah for our sins. And we do indeed make tawbah right now for our sins. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyiatina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azaban nar. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.